from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
It's time now to go beyond the headlines. And for the next 2 hours, go where every sports fan wants to go. Behind the scenes and into the practice facilities, locker rooms, coaches' offices, and press boxes to get the info before anyone else. This is the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Oh, good morning, everybody. Hello there. Hello, a happy Monday to you. I'm Kyle Madsen. James Hamm back from Cabo and in the building for the start of free agency. Free agency began yesterday at 3 o'clock Pacific Standard Time. No movement for the Kings yet, but some in the works. Some going down.
We'll see, man.
I hope so. Maybe. Question mark?
It's been exciting, except for nothing has actually happened. And that's always when you start to get a little nervous. Just that, you know, you would hope that the Kings would actually make some big moves here. But sometimes those take a little while. And sometimes the market has to cool down as far as the free agent market in order to make those moves. And I think they're in on Brandon Ingram. We know that at this point. But they're also, there might be another name, Kyle. Another name.
Oh, what name is that?
I heard a little bit this morning. I don't know if we, it's not something that's super solid, but I'm hearing that there's a potential for, the Kings to kick the tires on a Lauri Markkanen trade. But we'll see.
Is there another name to throw in the mix?
We're just going to throw it out there, just a name in the mix. Nothing like super solid, Lauri Markkanen, does sound like, is becoming available with Utah Jazz.
Yeah.
And if he's going to become available, then the Kings need to do their due diligence there and see if they 1,000%. Can get in on the conversation.
Yeah, 1,000%. And that's why I think what you said there is important. It's not like, hey, firm reporting that A, B, and C are happening. But if we're going to talk about Kyle Kuzma, and if we're going to talk about Brandon Ingram, we can now throw Lauri Markkanen into that mix of player that may be available, that the Kings, that certainly fits with what the Kings are looking for and what they need.
Mm-hmm.
So we can put him in that mix as well. But let's start with Brandon Ingram.
Yes.
Because that was the big deal yesterday. And again, keep it locked into ESPN 1320 through the insiders here. We're hanging out with you till noon. Then D'Lo and KC will pick it up at noon. They'll take you to 4 o'clock. Any news that is happening, we will bring it to you. And we will have the best analysis for you of anything going on with your Sacramento Kings. But for now, we have a report from friend of the program, Sean Cunningham, mm-hmm. Fox 40, Sean Cunningham, that says the Kings are having talks with the Pelicans about a Brandon Ingram trade. I think you and I both are in on the Brandon Ingram idea,
mm-hmm.
Just from the player, the fit, what he brings to the table. What would that cost, though? Because that, to me, feels like the kind of deal where you might have to include Keegan Murray.
Yeah, I don't think the Kings are going to do anything that includes Keegan Murray. Now,
sure.
At least for right now, we never know. I don't ever want to say,
Never say never.
Never say never.
Sure.
I mean, that's for sure. But as of right now, like, look, the Kings believe he's part of their core, and they also believe that he's better than a lot of the players, or he's going to be a better player than a lot of these players that we're talking about. The Brandon Ingram thing, like, look, if we're going to assemble a trade, it would be centered around Harrison Barnes and Kevin Huerter, from what I've heard, and then some sort of pick compensation. But that's just to match salaries. The Pelicans, from what I know, from what I've heard from sources elsewhere, are looking for someone. They're looking for a center, and they would like a third team involved, potentially. And whether the Kings can make that happen or not, I don't know. Whether the Pelicans can make that happen, they can draw somebody else in and say, hey, you can have this player or this pick compensation or whatever, but we're looking for this. You know, like, just a banny about, like we talked about, me and Kyle before the show, could you get Atlanta involved with Clint Capella?
Yeah.
Who's in the final year of like a $23 million deal. And, you know, could the Kings send like a Huerter and Duarte package to Atlanta with Capella going to the Pelicans along with Harrison Barnes and some compensation, whatever. Like, again, we're just spitballing here. Who knows what will happen with that? But Brandon Ingram's on a one-year, $36 million contract, and you can't just trade for a guy and instantly, well, you can trade for a guy and instantly negotiate a contract extension, but the initial contract extension that you can negotiate is very small. It's a two-year deal with only 5% raises, and it's very limited as to what you can give somebody. So you would basically, you have to wait a six-month waiting period, which throws everything kind of in flux. You wouldn't find out if you were able to retain either Brandon Ingram or Lauri Markkanen until January. That's when you would really be able to negotiate in earnest with these guys on a long-term contract extension. And that that gets a little scary.
Yeah, and that's where I think one of the big hangups for me would be with this, is because you would need to talk with Brandon Ingram's agent or Lauri Markkanen's agent, and I don't know that you could insure and get a guarantee, but gauge the interest. Because if Brandon Ingram straight up says, no, I won't re-sign with Sacramento, then okay, maybe you're thinking about this deal a little differently. I think you'd still want to acquire him.
Yeah, and try to change his mind.
For a year. Yeah, for sure. But I don't know now that I'm attaching 3 first-round picks to it.
Oh, no.
Or anything like that. So, and same goes for Lauri Markkanen. But I think that has to be not the number one thing, because I do think at some point you have to make some kind of move. Because if you're waiting on some guarantee beyond like, yeah, maybe I'll resign, then you're probably never going to get anything done.
Yeah, and I think that that's the problem. I mean, we're watching so many free agents come off the board like every day. You know, it started yesterday at 3, and, you know, it was really a slow play. It wasn't
very
like,
odd.
It wasn't like your normal. The rules have changed in the NBA with tampering, and so really it felt kind of awkward and weird. It almost like a trade deadline that fizzles. And so we're sitting here waiting for things to come through, and nothing is really coming through. And so, you know, the whole time you're like, what's going to happen? But then all of a sudden, boom, 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 you start seeing some of the guys that I know a lot of Kings fans like, Najee Marshall or Derrick Jones Jr., you know, all
Is
of these.
Najee?
Yeah, these long athletic wings coming off the board. And that's the type of guy that the Kings need. And you're just kind of watching everybody else get better. But I would point out that, like, look, there's a couple of mechanisms here in play. And it's something that I think people should keep in mind, that just because players are signing right now at different places and you may like that player, it doesn't mean that the Kings can't go use their mid-level exception and go trade for a player like that that's out there. They can. There are going to be players, once the dust settles, that teams need to reconfigure their salary structure, and the Kings will be able to get back into the market and go find some of these players.
Right.
It just, you need to get the big deal done first so you're not tying yourself up and limiting what you can do cap wise. And that's why it's so painful to watch a you know, sort of these trade ideas or these trade rumors play out over a day, 2 days. That's not what you need at this moment. This moment, you need something that's secured, something that will happen and that you know is going to happen. And then boom, it's over. And now you can go put the rest of the pieces together.
Yeah, and I think that's where I don't want to call it frustration, because I don't think there's frustration, but there's an angst, because like you said, okay, we've been talking about Kyle Kuzma, and there was smoke on draft day that, oh, Kyle Kuzma, and there's going to be a deal for Kuzma in the lead up to the 13th pick, and then nothing. And now we hear about Brandon Ingram. Oh, and now, hey, is Lauri Markkanen going to be available? Okay, hey, he fits too. And it's like, okay, this is all great, but what comes of all this?
Yeah.
Because at this point, if they're not landing one of those three guys, and I understand that what you're saying, teams are going to have to reconfigure what their rosters look like, and there's going to be players available for the mid-level or part of the mid-level or whatever it is. But I don't think the Kings are done making moves necessarily if they don't get one of these three guys. But anything they do outside of Ingram, Markkanen, or Kuzma is going to feel super underwhelming to me.
No, I think that's the problem. You know what this feels like right now is when Monty McNair took over the team, they went into that offseason, and it was the COVID shortened offseason after the bubble, and things did not go as planned. So the only thing that Monty was able to do was he drafted Tyrese Halliburton, which was spectacular, but you know, again, it took a little while. And he signed Glenn Robinson III and Hassan Whiteside. At this point, the Kings have traded for Jalen McDaniels, and they've signed, or they're going to sign, Alex Len.
Mm-hmm.
That feels eerily similar. And they went out and they drafted Devin Carter.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, this is a moment, though, where you have to, again, I keep saying this, you don't have to make a trade just to make a trade.
Mm-hmm.
You have to make a trade because you're not good enough. Your team did not make the playoffs. Mm-hmm. And one draft pick doesn't help you make the playoffs.
Mm-mm.
Not this year. Like 2 years from now, maybe Devin Carter is part of the program and helps you win something
bigger.
I think
he will be. Yeah.
Yeah, that's very possible. And I really like him. But at the same time, you have to like jump into the fray here. I always think of, as an A's fan, this Terrence Long sitting with the bat on his shoulder watching strike three go by in the playoffs.
I mean, you don't have to bring up old stuff.
Well, but that's what this feels like
doing
in the past.
Doing the ass out thing on the two-seamer. It's Derek Lowe. You know the two-seamer's coming.
You know it's coming.
Like, anyway.
So you understand what I'm saying, though. Like, this is a moment to take the bat off your shoulder and take a big hack. And I think there are fallback plans here. I think, like, Kyle Kuzma could be a fallback plan here.
Mm-hmm.
But what are you going to do right now? And that's the question. And, like, look, all of these things come with a certain degree of risk, but that's where, like, you're at a position in your build. You have to take the risk. You have to put yourself out there and try to improve the roster, especially with what's happening in the Western Conference.
Well, and this is where it's not, I understand the concept of not making a deal just to go make a deal. And I don't think that's the case here, because there are players available, according to reporting.
Mm-hmm.
There are players available who could help the Kings.
Oh,
the
Kings
theoretically have the assets to go get them, which is where I think there's a lot of people are sitting here going, hey, now's the time. Like, the boat's coming around. You got to jump on.
Yeah.
Because it's got to be the right time and it's got to be the right trade. Well, the time feels pretty right and the trades are all there. And I'm sorry, at some point coming up short and going, oh, well, they tried it. They explored it. But the deal just wasn't right, or oh, they got outbid, or whatever it is. That's not gonna fly now.
No, I totally agree, and I think there's a certain amount of risk that the Kings aren't willing to do. I still think that again, Keegan Murray is a player that's not gonna be on the table as long as they can possibly not have him on the table.
Right.
But that doesn't change the fact that you have a really, really strong core of four. And you need to find a way to make that core five or six.
Get them over the hump.
And you got to get over. Exactly.
Yep. All right. We'll keep talking about the Kings offseason and moves to be made or not be made. Any breaking news we'll have it for you right here on ESPN 1320. We'll also talk about some of the other wild things going on around the NBA. The 76ers look like they're coming together. The Western Conference is falling apart. One team in the Western Conference is loading up. We'll talk about all of it. That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Matz, and we're the Insider, sponsored by our friends over at Jiffy Lube. On ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader.
We all know baseball is a...
Mm-hmm. Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
He's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen talking to NBA free agency, which officially opened yesterday. No moves yet for the Kings, but I think the fact that you saw a player like Jonas Valanciunas sign for 3 years and $30 million,
mm-hmm.
and you've seen these other players, you mentioned Najee Marshall, there was one other player in there.
Derrick Jones Jr.
All these players that like would have fit with the Kings. Mm-hmm. The fact that they haven't made a move yet, and I know there's a lot of people who are not anti-Monty McNair, but have questions about Monty McNair's ability to complete a deal. Which, understandable. Fine. I think that I'm optimistic that the Kings are going to get something done, and something fairly major done, because we saw those players come off the board and the Kings weren't involved. And that to me says they were looking for bigger fish.
Yeah.
And you look at the Sasha Vezenkov, Davion Mitchell trade, plus 2 second round picks to go get Jalen McDaniels, who's ostensibly taking Kessler Edwards' spot at the end of the bench. Is that reserve project wing?
Mm-hmm.
Who, if you get something out of him, incredible. If not, not the end of the world. But that freed up cap space to give them to put them under the tax.
Yeah, they're under the luxury tax. They're even after the Alex Len signing, I think they're like $167 million.
Right.
So they're roughly like 4 point something million under the luxury tax.
So they get the full non-taxpayer mid-level.
Yeah, they can get the full, they can get really close to the mid-level.
Mm-hmm.
But it would basically be they would sign the mid-level before. And then if they had to go over the first apron to sign a guy like Alex Len, they would. But they also, sure, they have the ability to, like, again, McDaniels makes like 4.4 or 4.7 million bucks,
mm-hmm.
right? You could always, if you needed to get, save money and get under the luxury tax or mm-hmm. under an apron, you could waive him and use a stretch provision and basically break his contract over 3 years and save $3 million and drop back down.
Sure.
So there, that's what I tried to warn people before. Like, everyone's like, oh my gosh, they're going to hard cap themselves. Like, no. Like, they have time.
Yeah.
And I think I sent you a text on Friday from Cabo, and
yes,
that text was the thing that
I read part of it on air.
Yeah. The thing that I liked about what they did very specifically is that, like, the money dries up to go and send a couple of players out and take back less money. Like, cap teams mm-hmm. dry up very quickly. They start collecting assets for yeah. what they have.
Yeah.
The Kings gave up 2 second-round picks. Who cares? They went out and got 2 undrafted free agents that very well could be better than any second-round pick they got.
1,000%.
I hate to tell people this, but, like, Keon Ellis is a better player than Jalen Slauson. And that's just straight up.
Hot take.
And he's a better player than a lot of the second round picks. Like,
sure.
Robert Woodard, like people, mm-hmm. Jamias Ramsey.
Mm-hmm.
Keon Ellis is a better player undrafted versus a second round pick.
So yeah.
I'm not saying just waste all your second round picks, but those are little assets that you can go get things or that you can save a whole bunch of money with.
Right.
The fact that they cleared like $8.7 million in that trade, stellar.
Yeah, no doubt.
And like, look, Davion
Mitchell. For two players who weren't going to play a lot.
They weren't going to play. Like, yes. Davion Mitchell and Sasha Vezenkov were not in the plan. Yes. Sasha was redundant with Trey Lyles there. And when you drafted Devin Carter, you now had at least 4, maybe 5, maybe 7 other guards outside of Davion Mitchell. And Davion Mitchell's play on the court was going to be diminished. And he's entering the final year of his contract. So a team would be willing to take him on for a second round pick.
Mm-hmm.
And so, to me, like, a lot of good movement here. That's what a good team does. What a good team does is they look at their roster. Mm-hmm. They make draft picks. They do everything. When a player doesn't work, and I'm not, I've said this so many times, I think Davion Mitchell, first of all, he landed in the perfect spot. That mm-hmm. is a team that has, like, systematically found players just like him. Fred VanVleet, Kyle Lowry.
Mm-hmm.
They take guys that are undervalued in what they do somewhere else, and they turn them into really, really good starting point guards.
Okay.
It may not happen with Davion, mm-hmm. but I like his chances there. He's a half-court point guard. He's mm-hmm. not a system, a flow offense system player, and I like him better there. It's a good opportunity for him to start his career again. Mm-hmm. And for the Kings to make the decision to take a guy number 9 overall and then not just stick with it because you have to. That's what good teams do. They realize their faults, they realize their mistakes, mm-hmm. and they move quickly to move off of them. Mm-hmm. And so I think that is it's a really good sign, but also it opens up this offseason for the Kings to be active and go do things.
Yeah.
You know, if they have to take back a player that makes $8 million more than what's going out, then they now have the room to do that, right, where they didn't before.
Right.
So now it comes down to, what do you get done with that, with what you just did? Can you maneuver more? Can you figure more things out? Hopefully they can.
That's why, like I said at the top of the segment, that's why I'm optimistic that there's something going on.
Oh, there's something going on. It's just whether or not they finish it.
Right. But I think they will, because there's the three, there's the Kyle Kuzma, Lauri Markkanen, Brandon Ingram options, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think each of those is going to cost something a little bit different.
Yep.
Ingram and Markkanen might be about the same.
Yeah.
But I think Kuzma will be significantly cheaper. There's the Cam Johnson, Dorian Finney-Smith option out there. If you want to go, you know, I think you're going to get them like bargain basement type of deal. There's a ton of avenues they can go, and I think they're going to head down one of them. And I think Monty McNair in the front office know that, okay, Brandon Ingram's the biggest fish here.
I think so too.
We're working on this. Lauri Markkanen might become available. Okay, whatever we're comfortable giving up for Brandon Ingram, we're comfortable doing the same for Lauri Markkanen, if that's the case.
Yep.
And then they know, hey, we know about what Kyle Kuzma is going to cost, and then we know that Cam Johnson and Dorian Finney-Smith are out there as well. And they know that, like you said earlier, if it's not Brandon Ingram, then it's nothing. There's a bunch of different plans here for them, and I think whether it's today or tomorrow or the next day, or maybe it's after the holiday, there's going to be some significant move out there that we sit and we, I think right now the Kings are better because they have Devin Carter.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think, I'm not confidently penciling them in as a top six team. I think whatever move they make is going to push them over the top, where we look at them going into the year as, hey, this is very comfortably a playoff team in the West.
Yeah, I think that's the goal, right?
And I think that move's coming.
I think that every option that we've laid out here, mm-hmm. barring you taking away from the core of the team, which again, I'm just going to keep saying it. I believe personally that the core right now is very mm-hmm. clear. It's De'Aaron Fox, it's Malik Monk, it's Keegan Murray, and it's Domantas Sabonis. Mm-hmm. After that, you hope that Devin Carter can become part of that core. You hope that some of these other players, and that's not to be disrespectful to a guy like Trey Lyles, who is very much a part of what their program is and who they are as a team. But there's a difference between a player that you spend a 2-year, $16 million deal on and a player that you give a full max extension to, like there, or a full 4-year, $78 million deal to. Mm-hmm. So like, look, their core is pretty clear. Now, how do you put the pieces around the core? We all know what's lacking. We all can see what they need. They need
pretty straightforward.
Another scorer, a long athletic wing that can score.
Sure.
It's very clear. Sure. And that can be a Lauri Markkanen. It can be a Brandon Ingram. It can be a Kyle Kuzma. It could be Cam Johnson, although I'm not in love with that option.
Here's where I land on the Cam Johnson thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think if you're getting Cam Johnson and Dorian Finney-Smith and you're starting one of them and you have another one on the back, I think you can... what am I trying to say here? I think that gives you enough depth on the wing that you can kind of create the player that you need in the aggregate.
Okay.
And you could probably do it for less in a trade than it's going to take, but I wouldn't prefer that.
Yeah.
I just think if you're going to go get one of them, I think you should try and get both.
I would say that, like, if you're really looking at this, I would say that Ingram and Markkanen, if you were to trade for either of those, they're a top three player in your rotation, a top three player on your team.
Yes.
And that would mean that Malik Monk maybe moves to number 4 and that Keegan Murray maybe moves to number 5 and maybe those two switch, and all of a sudden you're looking at a much more dynamic team, right? I think if you get Cam Johnson, I would say top 6 in your rotation, mm-hmm. and Dorian Finney-Smith is probably top 8 in your rotation. They're two rotational pieces. You add that with Devin Carter, and I do think that you've improved your team. But how much are they an improvement over a Kevin Huerter or a Harrison Barnes, and how much can they move the needle? And so I don't know. It's complex.
Sure.
It always is. And then Kyle Kuzma, I'm going to say like 4. you know, he's probably number four on your team, maybe four or five. No. Maybe he's in a combination of three, four, five.
Three, four, five with
Malik Monk and with Keegan Murray. And so I'd say you put them all on like the same sort of bucket again. But I would be okay with that too. Mm-hmm. Just the other two are bigger swings. But the problem is Kyle Kuzma's on a 3-year deal. It gets 23.5, 21.5, and 19.5. Mm-hmm. It's like the best contract of all time.
It's crazy.
It's the old Harrison Barnes contract that they were able to get.
Mm-hmm.
And then these other two, if you're talking about Ingram and you're talking about Lauri Markkanen, they're both entering the final year of their deal, and there's a ton of uncertainty with both of them.
Mm-hmm. I think the biggest uncertainty there is going to be whether they'll re-sign with the Kings. I think, I genuinely believe the fact that the Kings are exploring at least the Brandon Ingram option, and I'm sure if Lauri Markkanen's been made available, they've been on the phone with Utah.
Yeah.
They know that that's going to be, hey, this is, we're pushing in the assets. Whatever the assets are, like, we're ready to push them in.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of if those players are going to re-sign. Like, that's the bigger deal to me. In whether one of those two deals gets done, assuming, you know, the Pelicans agree that Herter and Barnes and three firsts for Brandon Ingram is good, I think the Kings are ready to make that deal.
Yeah,
and that's why I'm optimistic that we're going to see something.
I'm going to say that the other problem that you have with Ingram is I don't think that your competition for Ingram is as difficult as it is with Markkanen.
Yeah,
and so that's something I'd point out.
Yeah, well, I have a question about the Jazz, actually. Let's do that next. That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We'll keep talking NBA offseason with you on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Center.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Appreciate everybody hanging out with us today. That's James. I'm Kyle. They are Jiffy Lube, and they sponsor the program. Shout out to our friends at Jiffy Lube. Appreciate everybody listening on the radio on ESPN 1320 AM. Maybe you're listening on the Odyssey app. Maybe you're checking us out on YouTube and Twitch, or maybe on Twitter. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. Talking NBA free agency. Any news that comes down, we'll have it for you. And we will immediately dive into what it means. But the Kings exploring a trade for Brandon Ingram. Lauri Markkanen might also be on the table. We know Kyle Kuzma is a player they're interested in. And maybe I'm being overly optimistic, but it really feels like this is the offseason that they're going to do something significant. And frankly, if they don't, and it comes down to, well, A, if they don't for any reason, it's going to be tough. But if it comes down to, well, it had to be the right deal and this and that, okay.
Yeah.
I get it. Like I get it from like following the logic, but also like the boat doesn't come around that often. And when it does, you better jump on it. You're going to be standing on the dock. And I don't know that there's a, let me put it this way. Right now I'm optimistic. I know that Monty McNair hasn't been super active. They've been super conservative, but you know what? They traded Tyrese Halliburton. They got Domantas Sabonis. That was a deal that was there, and they went and they made it. And last offseason, they ran it back. I was with it. I thought that was the right move. And then at the trade deadline, you know what? At the trade deadline, could they have made a move? Yes. But frankly, when you go look at what assets the Kings had or didn't have and what moves got made, I get why they didn't make a move. And you know what? I'm actually fine with it. I think if Malik Monk doesn't get hurt, I think they still make the playoffs last year. In which case, the conversation is a lot different. But for this offseason, at this point, you have to do something. The deals are there. The players are available. And if you're not doing it this offseason, then moving forward, it's like, okay, then when? Because I can't justify it beyond this offseason.
No, I'm with you. Like, if you're not going to do it now, then when? And like, look, you had a press conference last week where you talked about this specific thing. Like, this was just step one. The draft was just step one of what's going to be, like, multiple things that they're trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's at a certain point, you're judged by what you do, not by what you almost did.
Yep.
And we're at that point, or we're maybe a year past that point.
Because
it's not just this last offseason that they didn't do a lot. I mean, again, what did they do? They went out and they got Sasha Vezinkov, which they just gave away in a salary dump.
Mm-hmm.
They got Chris Duarte. And Chris Duarte is not a player that is in the long-term plans of the team as of right now that I can tell. And so what did you do? At the trade deadline, you didn't do anything.
Mm-hmm.
At the last trade deadline, you picked up Kessler Edwards. And I mean, this last trade deadline, we forget, they traded for Robin Lopez and waived him.
Oh, that's right.
Yes. The second time they've
done that. That's my mistake for saying they were inactive.
So
they got after it.
That's the deal. And then I would also say, like, I know there are a lot of people are out there saying, well, why haven't they done this or that? You do have a little bit of a roster crunch as of right now. So I think as of right now, you're at 13 players on the roster.
Mm-hmm.
If Alex Lynn is in fact signing, and once you sign your draft pick. So,
and that includes Malik Monk, who hasn't officially signed yet.
Yes, exactly.
He's the $12.9 million cap holder or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. So you have all
of
these.
I read the Kings beat, everybody.
Yeah, you did read out. Like, you do have money to spend before that happens, right?
Right.
So they still, though, they have a bit of a roster crunch where you need to be cautious about, like, how many people you're signing today.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you need to make a 3-for-1 deal or a 1-for-3 deal,
sure,
then you're going to run into the fact that you don't have enough roster spots and you have to waive people.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not what the Kings need to do at this point. Like, they have an understanding of who they are, I think. And I think what they've done, like, again, the Jalen McDaniels move, like, it's not a spectacular move today. But if that's your move to go with a Brandon Ingram,
sure,
trade,
sure,
then it makes me feel a lot better. Like mm-hmm. the Devin Carter draft pick, everyone freaks out. Oh my gosh, they have so many guards. Okay, it looks a lot different today because
no doubt.
Davion Mitchell is no longer there.
When I think that was with the Devin Carter pick, and I know that you jumped on and we talked about it a little bit, but that was the whole thing was, okay, I like Devin Carter the player, but what else?
Yeah.
Like there has to be more to this. And this, what we're talking about today, is the more.
Well, of course. And like for the sake of like breaking it down here, like, look, there's a very good possibility that Kevin Huerter and Chris Duarte will no longer be on the roster. And all of a sudden you might get to a point where you have to go find another guard. Like,
sure,
that you need to find another guard. And people,
man,
are like,
that would
wait,
be wild. That'd be nuts.
Yeah, but it's happened before. I think sure. The one time the Kings walked into the season with like five centers on the roster, that was awkward. Like, what is happening here and how do you fix this? And the fact that you couldn't get rid of most of them for most of the season mm-hmm. was, again, a very strange thing. But like, look, there are subtle moves that they're making right now that in a larger scale picture can make sense. But they have to come with the other moves that make the whole picture whole.
Mm-hmm.
As of right now, you're trying to put a puzzle together from the inside out.
Mm-hmm.
You need the edge pieces. You need the corner pieces. You need to build out the, you know, the base.
Mm-hmm.
And they got really close. I do think that they're really close to a very, very strong base. But you're not there yet. And so I'm intrigued. And, you know, Kyle, I think the biggest thing for me is that this is a moment where the Western Conference, like, teams are falling by the wayside left and right.
Yeah.
At least that's what it looks like to me. Like, you're looking at a team like the Clippers who just lost Paul George.
Yeah. Yeah, man. They lose Paul George. They retain James Harden on a 2-year deal, 2 years, $70
million. Mm-hmm.
Paul George walks, and it looks like they're trying to trade Russell Westbrook. The Clippers are, I don't want to call it rebuilding, but the Clippers are not contending this year in any capacity.
No, I don't think so.
No.
Yeah.
And shout out to Terrence Mann, but I don't think he's getting him over the hump.
Well, they did also, and they signed Derek Jones Jr., but, mm-hmm. oh, and they made the really strange signing of Kevin Porter Jr., which I think everyone
very
in the league
odd.
Went, excuse me? What?
Yeah.
Like, wait a sec. Yeah. How long is he suspended for?
Yeah.
I don't know. We know the answer to that.
No
but
idea.
They also lost Plumlee, who, you know, goes to Phoenix, but then Phoenix goes out. They lose Eric Gordon, which mm-hmm. Whether you love him or hate him, he's part of their 6-man rotation.
Sure.
Like, he's one of their better players off the mm-hmm. bench. They lose him. They lose Drew Eubanks, which, again, I'm not, like, overly concerned with.
You're replacing Eubanks with Plumlee, which is an upgrade.
Yeah, but like,
beyond that,
it's not much. Yeah.
They weren't an upgrade over Drew Eubanks away from beating the Timberwolves in the playoffs last year.
No, that's a team that, like, if you look at them, their depth was bad last year, and their depth looks like it will be bad again this year.
Mm-hmm.
And outside of that, they got a year older, and Bradley Beal's probably only going to play 50 games, and Kevin Durant's now 35, 36. And so, like, all of these things are starting to stack up.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm starting to see all of these teams that are kind of fading at the Golden State Warriors. Like, we're talking about a team that's going to lose Klay Thompson. Whether that's a good thing or a bad thing, I don't know at this point in his
sure.
career. But they also got zero for, as of right now, they've got zero for Klay Thompson. They
mm-hmm.
they might be able to swing a deal with the Dallas Mavericks where they pick up, like,
apparently they're working out, trying to work out a sign and trade.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean that Klay has to do the sign and trade because no. he can go to LA instead.
Right.
And not do a sign and trade. So
sure.
So maybe the sign and trade in Dallas yields him, but what are we talking about? Like, Maxi Kleber? And
yeah.
last time I checked, that's not helping your team all that much.
Mm-mm.
Like, solid, but, like, that's a Nemanja Bjelica deal.
Their biggest asset was Chris Paul's $30 million expiring non-guaranteed contract.
Exactly.
And they didn't move it. They just waived him. So, they're not... They were on par with the Kings last year from a record standpoint,
mm-hmm.
and they've done nothing to get substantially better.
No, and they have the problem that every year they get much older.
Mm-hmm.
Like mm-hmm. the Kings, yeah, their players age a year for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a difference between 26-year-old becoming a 27-year-old and a 35-year-old becoming a 36-year-old.
Yes.
There's a huge difference,
yes.
And that's where I look at this offseason and the potential of this offseason. Again, the Houston Rockets, everybody's afraid of. like what they can do long term, they haven't done anything yet. Mm-hmm. Right, you're looking at the Memphis Grizzlies. Like, hey, can they get back in the fold? They haven't done anything. Mm-hmm. You see the Spurs. Everyone's like, oh, Wemby. Okay, they just signed a 39-year-old Chris Paul who couldn't stay healthy when he was playing for great teams, mm-hmm. let alone a team that should win 30-something games.
Mm-hmm.
Like the teams that
30-something, the optimist over
yeah,
here.
Yeah, the teams behind you aren't charging right now.
Mm-hmm.
The teams ahead of you are fading. And then there's this group that's way up high that you need to try to figure out how to match. But even at Denver Nuggets, man, they lost Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, mm-hmm. and they have no way to replace him. They're, you know,
they're
Christian
trying to trade for Russell Westbrook, apparently.
Mm, okay. Well, that they traded like, man, Reggie. They traded Reggie Jackson too for nothing to save money, and yeah. so now you're looking at that team, and it's like, okay, they are vulnerable. Mm-hmm. They are. Mm-hmm. They're vulnerable. The Clippers are vulnerable. The Phoenix Suns, they're all vulnerable. So can you take the leap to skip ahead of those guys and get yourself back into the competition with Minnesota Timberwolves, what could be a really interesting Dallas Mavericks team, and then the Oklahoma City Thunder? Can you get back in that conversation?
OKC might be nasty this year, dude.
We'll see. I think so.
Stop it. If the Kings were Oklahoma City, you would be like, they're winning a title.
Well, I mean, I think that they're going to be nasty. I think they're going to win 55 to 60 games. But are they nasty in the playoffs yet? And maybe. Maybe.
I kind of think so.
Yeah. They're good, though.
Alex Caruso. Pin in this real quick. Isaiah Hartenstein getting 3-87. He got $29 million a year. He's a nice player. This is why I hate this stuff, because I don't want to act like I'm dragging Isaiah Hartenstein. He's very, very good. He was awesome for the Knicks in the playoffs. But $29 million a year for him?
Man, I had trouble with that. I had trouble with Max Christie getting a 4-year 32. Is that what he got? Like, yeah. I'm like scratching my head. And then the way it's framed in a tweet from Woj, like, he can be looked at as a success. The dude averaged 4 points a game. He's a success story?
He is a success story in the same way that, like, Colby Jones is a success story. Like, yeah, hey, here's this nice young player that we kind of like. Sure, man.
You know who's a success story? Keon Ellis is a success story.
A contributor.
And he's under contract at a league minimum deal for 2 more years.
Right.
So same draft.
Yeah.
Those two.
Yeah.
One of them's going to make $32 million plus his first 2 year money. So we're probably looking at 34, 35. The other one's going to make like $8 million. Like, I'm so baffled.
He's going to make $8 million and not play.
Yeah. Well, that and
maybe he will. Maybe he does, but I don't.
Yeah.
I don't think Max Christie is going to be a huge factor.
I like Isaiah Joe. I like Wiggins Wiggins. Yeah, Aaron Wiggins on OKC. But even those guys, I feel like they got a lot of money for who they are and what they mean to that franchise.
Sure.
And that's a really difficult thing to look at, because you add that to the Hartenstein and like you look at all the deals that are coming up, like how are you going to pay a Chet Holmgren? How are you going to pay, you know, Lou Dort is locked up for a couple more years. Shea's got his deal, but you got Jalen Williams is coming up. You got like these players that are really good that are going to require all this money. And you're sitting here and you're sort of taking away like 6-8% of your salary cap with the small deals, which is a lot to give up for those small deals.
Mm-hmm.
But then the Hartenstein deal is like, oh boy.
I understand it from OKC's perspective, because I think he fits really nice next to Chet Holmgren.
Yo, I don't disagree with the fit. I'm just confused by the dollar amount.
Yeah, I don't. And they have a million first round picks in the next couple of drafts.
And no roster spots.
Yeah.
No roster spots at all.
A fascinating team.
Yeah, yeah. So it's going to be interesting, because when you do find someone like a Kaysen Wallace who fits in and like, oh, this is, we got another one of those guys.
Yeah.
You know, the other Jalen Williams, you got one.
Yep.
Like, but how are you going to keep the core together is going to be interesting to watch. And all of a sudden, Hartenstein, who, like, I like as a player, I would never have thought of him as a core piece. He wasn't a core piece in New York. And I mean, they valued him, but they didn't value him at that dollar amount. To me, there's a lot of craziness that's going on here.
But to your point, the Spurs aren't going to make some crazy leap. I thought that maybe there was a deal for them to make where all of a sudden with them and Wemby, and I think they're going to be interesting forever because of Wemby.
Yeah. But I still think they're intriguing though, because they're a name that's been mentioned with Lauri Markkanen as well.
Sure.
And they and might have the assets to go get him.
And if that happens, then cool. Mm-hmm. But the Jazz in particular, what are they? What are they doing? I don't understand. I don't know if they know what they're doing.
Well,
they're a weird team.
They're a team with a whole bunch of draft picks.
Right.
Right. And so Lauri clearly doesn't fit their age arc, right?
Right.
He just turned 27. He's under contract for one more year. They would like to have make him the centerpiece, but it's hard to make a guy a centerpiece when your other centerpieces are 19 and 20 years old.
Right. Right.
And are going to continue to be 19 and 20 because you're going to keep drafting more of those guys. So I don't know. They're in a bad spot, and they're the best thing that they could probably do is start over completely, especially with this upcoming draft, which is a very good draft. Yeah. Maybe you're able to clear a whole bunch of space here. Maybe you're able to lose a whole bunch of games and get yourself into the top end of the draft and then make the big play that you need to make.
So let's do this. Let's do this exercise right now. Let's look at the West, right?
Okay.
Oklahoma City, number one seed from last year, going to be a factor at the top again.
1, 2, 3.
Denver. I think Denver's going to be good.
I think they're going to be good, but as good, I'm not sure.
Yeah, they were 57 wins last year. Tied for first in the West. Oklahoma City had the tiebreaker. Minnesota?
I think
Minnesota's going to be right there again.
Yeah.
The Clippers, I think, fall way off.
Yeah,
they won 51 games last year.
Oh, no. I would be surprised if they, like, 46, 47. And that's in a really, really good world for them.
Dallas won 50. I think that's probably the range they'll be in again. I think they'll be in that 50-win range.
Yep. Okay. I think so, too.
Okay. Phoenix, I think, falls out.
Yeah, Phoenix.
Phoenix is going to win games for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But if you told me Phoenix was a play-in team, I wouldn't be shocked at all.
Oh, no, I wouldn't either.
No? Okay.
Yep.
The Lakers, I think that's a play-in team.
It's a TBD, too. Like, we have to wait and see just how good Bronny James is. No. We need to see if they're able to pull off something. I'll say this, though. Of all the teams out there that could actually use Klay Thompson, it's probably the Lakers because of the way that LeBron has such a gravity to his game.
Mm-hmm.
They need those shooters. I don't think the same thing about Dallas. Dallas, those guys have gravity to their game, but they also clog everything up. They're not a true like space team that I think of, which is where I think Klay Thompson would thrive.
Sure.
And so I think the Lakers getting Klay Thompson would make them more dangerous, but I also think like the Lakers probably could go cheap and get Buddy Hield for a league minimum or get Buddy Hield for the biannual exception. And all of a sudden, you know, you're looking at an elite shooter that does basically the same thing. And defensively, at this point in their careers, I don't think there's a whole lot of difference between the two.
I want to put a pin in this for a second. So you have the Warriors were the 10 seed last year. I think that's probably about the range they'll be battling for again this year.
Yep.
Houston hasn't done anything significant. They finished 500 last year. Maybe their young guys are take a collective leap, and maybe Jalen Green is an all-star and they move into the play-in. But okay. Utah, no. Memphis, I think Memphis will be a factor.
It's possible.
Ja Morant coming. Ja's really freaking good.
Well, yeah, he is, but they haven't done anything to improve their roster greatly.
They drafted Zach Edey, sir.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
San Antonio, you should have been there at the draft party when Zach Edey got drafted by Memphis, because I think that was every Kings fan's collective like dread.
Oh yeah,
was they were going to take Edey at 13, and when he got drafted at 9, the pop inside Tom's Watch Bar was nuts. People were so excited that he was off the board before 13. But anyways, I think Memphis is going to be good again. San Antonio, I don't think they're going to do enough to be in the playoff mix. Maybe a play-in if they go get Lauri Markkanen. But the last team is Portland. And I don't know. So that leaves New Orleans and Sacramento. So in the playoff scene, you have the Clippers in this scenario falling out.
Mm-hmm.
And you have Phoenix again battling for that like 6, 7, 8 spot.
Nine. Okay.
Battling for a play-in slash final playoff spot. I say all that to say, the Kings don't have that far to go. And when you talk about these teams falling off in the West, I think that's part of why the urgency is so there for me.
Oh, yeah.
And why, okay, we've been kind of waiting and waiting and waiting. But, dude, even just Kyle Kuzma, it doesn't even have to be the Lauri Markkanen or Brandon Ingram deal. Kyle Kuzma makes you pretty comfortably a playoff team.
Mm-hmm.
It's for me. If you disagree, fine, but
okay.
I think he pretty comfortably in that version of the West.
I'm with you.
If it's Brandon Ingram and Lauri Markkanen, then surely maybe they comfortably make you a top four team. Because of 4 through 6, you have Dallas, LA and Phoenix. If LA and Phoenix are falling out, Brandon Ingram puts the Kings very easily in one of those spots to me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why if you're not doing it now, there's what's the point?
Well, that is, I'm just
so
gonna,
many teams going the wrong way in the conference.
I know like there's a little bit of murmur about this here and there that De'Aaron Fox wants to see what it is that the Kings are doing, but it's true. Like De'Aaron Fox does want to see what the Kings are doing. Like he's a player who's, you know, 26 going on 27. He wants to know that the team that he's hitched his wagon to here is going to be there in the next couple of years, that they're going to,
mm-hmm.
they're going to put forth the money,
mm-hmm.
and the commitment to be great.
Yes.
He's going to want to know that before he signs this massive extension.
Sure.
He also, it behooves him to wait until next offseason. Hopefully he's all
no
NBA.
Doubt.
And, you know, again, we can talk about the guys that are leaving the West here. As of right now, what is Paul George, who's gone to the East? But there's potential for other players. And I also think that the other players that are leaving, like, mm-hmm. there's going to be more all-star spots available.
Mm-hmm.
Like, again, I think Victor Wembanyama is a guy that we all understand will be on the all-star team this year. And so that's going to make it very difficult for someone like Domantas Sabonis to make it.
Sure.
But that doesn't mean that, like, Fox is right in line to be back into the good graces of the NBA and all that stuff. Like, this is a moment where you want to spend your prime. Do you want to spend your prime here in Sacramento with a group that has built out a roster around you? Or are you going to keep waiting for them to do something?
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it puts a little bit of extra pressure. And it's why I also brought it up with the Malik Monk signing. This was another, like, little small bonus that could help keep De'Aaron Fox around long term.
Mm-hmm.
And so, hey, man, take the bat off your shoulder. Swing for the fences. I know it's going to hurt, all of it. Like,
Is it though? Like, is it?
Well, you're probably right, because if you're good and you give up a draft pick and you're good and you give up the 27th pick in the draft, who cares?
You're not trading 3 picks to try and become a play-in team.
No.
Like, you're trading to try and compete for a championship.
And I have a tough time trading 3 picks if it's for a player who is on a, because we're talking about, those are 3 unprotected picks, but for a player who's on a 1-year deal, like, the only way you're doing that is if you have assurances that he's staying, and there's no way to get those assurances because he can't sign for 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he can sign a small deal, but he can't sign the real deal.
Yeah.
And so that's scary.
Yeah. No doubt. 916-909-1320 if you want to join the conversation. 916-909-1320. Don, you're on the Insiders. What's up?
What's up, Kyle? This is your serial insider, Fred Peebles.
What up, Fred?
So let me ask you, James, a question, because I want to know if I'm correct in this. If they're going after a big guy like Ingram or whoever it is, a bigger name, is that holding them up and getting smaller deals because they need to figure out that money before they can make, like, little moves? Like, I saw, like, obviously Derrick Jones Jr. and guys like of those lower contracts. Does that stop them from being able to go after those guys until they figure out the big fish move?
Yes. Yeah.
Thanks for the call, Fred.
I mean, you at least have to be cautious because you have to factor in your salary cap. You have to factor in your roster spots, all of that stuff. And let's be honest, they're directing all of their attention at trying to complete one of these deals as opposed to going out there and recruiting somebody. Yeah. And like, look, just because the market is getting a little bare, it's not. It's not at all. I mean, that Caleb Martin is still available. Mm-hmm. Like, there are other players like that.
Torrey Craig.
Yeah, no, he opted in.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, but there are other players that are out there, I believe.
When?
Yesterday, the day before, he opted into like a $2.8 million contract with the Bulls.
Oh, I thought he opted out.
Oh, no.
Whoops.
But the point that I would make is not only are there deals out there, but there's also the fact that this year you can trade using your mid-level exception. Mm-hmm. And, hey, I'm pretty sure they got a trade exception when they made the deal with Sasha and Davion. I think they got an over a $6 million trade exception in that. I haven't seen it all worked out, but I'm pretty sure they did.
Mm.
And so, like, look, there's going to be an opportunity here for the Kings to do some stuff outside of just the one big deal.
No doubt. We have to take a break. We'll continue talking Brandon Ingram. We'll continue talking Lauri Markkanen, who's the perfect fit, and we'll have a roundup of any news for you on NBA free agency. That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're the Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube here on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Center.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valenti and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.